craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain, that they are empty. Therefore, let no one glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that's Peter, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. You're all worked up over personalities. But I'm telling you, you've got everything you need. I got it handled. You are Christ. And Christ is God's. Simply this morning, don't mess with the church. Don't mess with the church. Would you pray, Father? Would you help us this morning to hear, understand, and apply? Spirit of God, help me to say what I need to, not anything else. I pray I'd speak well, communicate clearly. I pray I'd enunciate. I pray that you'd help me, Father, to say what the text says and to express it. And I pray, God, you get all the honor and the glory and the credit. Spirit of God, use me and fill me. May I not preach out of anger or hurt. May I not preach out of any past wound or anything like that. May I just simply declare your word. Lord, I need you this morning. I pray that you'd help us in all this. We ask in your son's precious name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Oh, we're so glad again. Thank you. Thank you, everyone's here and excited what's going on. I like lists. I like fun little lists. I like fun little things. And I entitled this, Don't Mess with the Church. Don't mess with the church. And so I wanted to see if there was any don't mess with list. Don't mess with list. Nod your head if you think somebody made a don't mess with list. Yeah, there are more than a few. I wrote down some of these, and maybe you can help me and see how many of you can guess. See how many of you can guess and all with me this morning. Am I on back there okay? All right. I think I'm pulling my microphone accidentally. How many of you think you know the first one? Don't mess with. How many of you think you know the first? Texas. Yeah, that's right. Almost every list starts that way unless they didn't like Texas, and then they said, do mess with Texas. But anyway, don't mess with Texas. Don't mess with, anybody think they know one of the other ones? Don't mess with the cook. Don't mess with the cook, and don't mess with the kitchen. Those are real popular. How many of you think that's a good idea, by the way? Don't mess with somebody who's cooking, or don't bother the cook or the kitchen people. The one that I was surprised wasn't the second one. Don't mess with somebody's wife. I mean, that's good advice. Amen. I didn't find anywhere don't mess with somebody's husband. I reckon you ladies are like, eh. But anyway, don't mess with somebody like, I can Google it. Don't just pay attention to me. Don't mess with somebody's wife. And then the one I thought would be way up there, don't mess with somebody else's mama. I mean, that's real good advice. Anybody get in trouble as a young person on the playground or at school? Somebody said something about yo mama and it was on. It was on. Some of you here like, I'm getting mad just thinking about it. Yeah. Don't mess with somebody's mama. Again, not a lot about don't mess with somebody's dad. Again, I reckon men, we can just be messed with. That's no problem. The one that I didn't think about at all, and it kind of caught me off guard, don't mess with somebody's dog. Don't mess with somebody's dog. And by the way, that makes a lot of sense, right? Don't mess. Now, again, there wasn't any squirrels, ferrets, rabbits, and it sure wasn't cats. But don't mess with somebody's dog. How many of you think cats need to be, don't. Every time I talk about cats, I get ugly letters. I don't get ugly letters. I get ugly looks. Don't mess with somebody's hair. Don't mess with somebody's hair. Anybody besides me hate that? Somebody comes up and messes with your hair. I'm a grown man. Somebody comes up and messes my hair up. I want to get my wife and sick them. Don't mess with somebody's hair. The one that I thought about, and it was, I was surprised it was so low on the list. Don't mess with the TV remote. How many of you hate that? How many of you hate that? Somebody changes things or moves things. Anybody hate it when it's hidden? You tear up everything. We're still looking for a remote at our house from where Brandon Glaspie spent the night. And I'm not mad or bitter about that either. Don't mess with the remote. In the car, don't mess with don't mess with the driver. School bus rules. Yeah, don't mess with the driver. Don't mess with the radio. Don't mess with the radio. Anybody got a newer car and you got GPS and satellite and all that? Oh, God bless you. I don't know how you don't mess with anything. Don't mess with the radio. Don't mess with the volume. Nothing I like better than getting in the car somewhere and somebody's cranked it up, right? Cranked it up. I keep it on talk radio. My wife keeps it on the local station here, and she's worshiping going down the road. And I just want to go down the road. And the other day I came back, and she'd been driving my car, and I got in there, and all of a sudden, man, love Jesus. Wah, wah, wah. And, man, my glasses popped off. My ears exploded. It was awful. That didn't happen. I'm just exaggerating here. Don't mess with the radio. And then, some of you started to mouth at me, And then don't mess with the driver's seat. Don't mess with the driver's seat. Somebody gets in and pulls it up, pulls it back. Boy, it just gets all over us, right? How many of you are just as angry as you can be right now? Something? Don't mess with. Some of you are going, I got more than that. I just gave you a few of those. Gave you a few of them. Don't mess with. We understand it, right? Don't do this because it's special. Don't do this because it's an aggravation. Don't mess with something because it doesn't need to be messed with. Don't need to be messed with. I have almost seen people come to blows, Thanksgiving and Christmas meals. Somebody come in and stir somebody else's stuff or season somebody else's food or do these kind of things. Nod your head if you've ever seen that. Man, don't mess with it. Just leave it alone. Leave it be. Leave it be. My brother and I, you know, I'm still nervous if something is baking, if a cake is baking. I'm still nervous to walk too hard through a house. Anybody besides me? Because the cake will fall. Cake will fall. And I'm just hardwired that way because I like good cake. And so I'm okay with that, with these kind of things. If you remember last week, you're in chapter 3 there. Look back up just a moment or two. Excuse me. Go to verse 11. For other foundation could no man lay than is laying, which is Christ Jesus Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, that is the revelation of Christ, the person of Christ, the finished work of Christ. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work will be revealed or made manifest, for the day will declare it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. We have people that are constructive. They do things that add to the kingdom of God. We have people that are constructive workers. We have people that are worthless workers. We said last week, the wood, hay, and stubble, they're not necessarily evil. They just don't matter. They don't matter. People spend their lives sometimes, particularly in church world and Christian work, for stuff that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. People have got programs that don't matter. People do things that don't matter. There's all these kind of deals and trips, and you see places, man, that they're all about entertainment. And again, probably not anything wrong with that, but it's not going to matter. Doesn't matter. It's worthless. It's worthless. So constructive workers and work and worthless work. And now he gets into destructive workers. These are people, maybe well-meaning at the first, who have decided that they know better than what God knows. And God flatly says, do not do this. Do not mess with my church. Do not mess with the church. The Bible is absolutely, positively plain. Don't mess with the church. Why? If you try and destroy the church, God will, and it's the same word, God will destroy you. God will judge you. God will spoil you. God will, again, vernacular there, God will mess back with you. Do not do this. No one ever does this and gets away with it. God is very, very serious about this. He's very serious about this. And he says it in a couple of different ways here. How many of you, I got your attention now, right? Now, let me help you. If you got really excited about the thought of somebody messing with the remote or changing the channel or messing with your car seat, but you don't get all lathered up and worked up thinking about people attacking the church of God, then you got your priorities really out of order here. Does everybody understand that? So let's look at that. He says a couple things here, and I'm gonna break them out for you. He says, number one, he says, don't try to defile the church. He's going to talk about defiling the church and then destroying the church. Then I'm going to give you the hope at the end of it. It's a really neat thing. Don't try and defile the church. If you're taking some notes here, let me give you some ways that people try and defile the church. I think people try and defile the church with apathy. With apathy. What do you mean here? I think they try and defile the church with apathy. I don't care. And people get in a church, and then they don't care what happens. They don't care what's going on. And they're not only dead weight, but they're infectious. How many of you have seen teenagers who act all kind of like a slacker? And then all of a sudden, they got slackers all around them. And it's just like a magnet. I call it the bad attitude magnet. Bad attitude magnet. Yeah, yeah. Whatever. Why does it matter? Anybody here over the age of 25, 30 ever said, because I said so? Anybody ever use that expression, right? Apathy. Well, you got to do that with people who belong to a church. You got real problems. There's spiritual immaturity. By the way, it's what he addresses, chapter 3, verse 1. He says, I can't talk to you as adults. I got to talk to you like children. Y'all acting like babies. Again, I told you a guy preaches at Long Hollow Church there in outside of Nashville. He said the FBI can't find some people who say they belong to a church. I mean, you can't do it. Can't do it. I wish some people quit saying they come here. You know, like, please, please. Stop doing that. You know, there's this apathy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if people die and go to hell. That's chapter one. It doesn't matter if people are faithful. It doesn't matter any of these kind of things. There's apathy. Apathy defiles the church. Apathy defiles the church. Well, the preacher will do it, or this person will do it, or that person will do it. Man, apathy. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you got your Bible open. Look at verse 2. It is required in stewards what? That a man be found faithful. Man be found faithful. Well, the reason we're doing our one-on-one discipleship and turning that in, and hopefully, Lord willing, next year we're going to launch some different kind of things and have a little smaller, more intimate setting for some deals. It's because we want to brew that. If I was asked some of our members who've been here a while, or attenders who've been here a while and predate me, that one of the things that has broken their heart through the years is people who say they love Jesus, but they don't act like they care about anything that Jesus cares about. It's a mystery to them. By the way, it's a mystery to me. Churches here, churches there, churches I've served at, churches I've preached in up and down the East Coast and the Midwest and other countries. And people say, I know I belong to Jesus, but I just don't care. I don't seem to care about anything like that. Apathy. Apathy will defile a church. Apathy will defile the church. Arrogance. Arrogance. That's what he's about. One of the things he's addressing there, by the way. He says, any of you seem to be what? Wise? Any of you seem to be wise? Chapter 3. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in the world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. That they knew better about salvation, and they knew better about the church. There's arrogance. There's arrogance. I got dear friends, man, who just been read the riot act by people who just, man, I know what the Bible says, comma, but. Look at me. What the Bible says, you put an exclamation point at the end of it. You don't go, I know what the Bible says, but we're not going to do that. That's just arrogance. That's just arrogance. I know God says to do this, but I'm not going to do this. Or I know we ought to do this, and I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do these kind of things. That's arrogance. That's arrogance. You let somebody come to you and spread division and spread gossip and spread slander, and you know that's sin, but you don't address that. That is spiritual arrogance. That will defile a church. Nod your head if you understand that. When you think you know better than God, division, he addressed that again, chapter 1, chapter 2. There are factions, there are divisions that are among you, and we said that the church is to have a zero tolerance policy toward that. Now, by the way, even in the past weeks, I've had people challenge me, and in good nature, they just challenge me about that. Well, you know, people ought to be able to talk about other people, and I go, no, you missed the whole thing. You take your problems to the person, not to other people. You don't talk about other people. That defiles a church, and you let a bunch of yeah, and a bunch of that go on, man, it will just defile a church. God says, don't mess with my church. When there's anger. Again, I don't want to re-preach everything. One says, I'm of Paul. One says, I'm of Apollos. Another says, I'm of Christ. There's this idea that my guy's better than your guy, and your guy's not as good as my guy. You say, Pastor White, you're always so complimentary, Pastor Fender and Pastor Oaks. Because they're men of God and they deserve to be honored. Public and private. Publicly and privately. Their money's no good when I'm around. I'm supposed to take Gerald out, Pastor Fender out next week. And he's feeling better and with his illness and all. And his wife and I have been talking, we're going to do that. When we do that, he and I have no history at all. But he served here. And as part of the ministry of this church, it is our great privilege to honor him. And if Pastor Oaks lived any closer, we'd do the same thing for him. And I have a standing ovation. If he's in town, I'll take him out to eat. His money's no good. And we want to honor him. We've had all those men back to preach multiple times. We do our best to do that. Why? Because it ain't about if Pastor Fender was a better pastor, Pastor Oaks a better pastor, or I'm a better pastor. They are all, man, men of God and worthy of honor. And when you start doing personalities, well, I like this one, and I like that one, and I like the other. Well, I like this Bible teacher, I like that Bible teacher. You fall into a trap that defiles the church of personality, and then there people get competitive, and there's anger, and you get angry over things that don't matter. And God says, don't mess with my church. The word there can mean defile. Don't defile the church. If you're writing notes down, don't defile the church with worthless things, and don't defile the church with wicked things. Don't defile the church with worthless things and wicked things. How many of you have lived long enough and been around long enough, you've seen churches defiled by worthless things and by wicked things? Nod your head, blink at me, wave at me. Yeah. Isn't it sad? He said, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't try and do that. The word destroy there can mean defile. It can also simply mean destroy. It can mean destroy. Don't try and destroy the church. Don't try and destroy the church. Defile, I've kind of focused inwardly. Destroy there, we're going to look a little bit outwardly. Don't try and destroy the church. Is there anything been more destructive to the American and church and the European church than this idea that Genesis 1 through 11 is wrong? That there's no such thing as a creator God. That we are all here as a product of accident. That we're all just a chemical miscombination. Again, I always ask, where did the chemicals come from? Where did the energy come from the Big Bang? I love what the book I read in the spring this year. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I don't have enough faith to believe that everything came from nothing. I don't have that kind of faith. You got to have more faith to believe that than to believe in the beginning God. Even creation tells us. And evolution wars against that. And we're all products here. We're all products of accident. Let me help you. Every person is made in the image of God. And they have worth and they have dignity. And we talk about other people and we look at other people this way as callous and as cold and they can't add anything and all. Man, when we see that, man, that wars against the church. By the way, you can see that the church in England has evaporated. Some of you that travel, some of you have been in the service, you've looked long and hard to find a Bible-preaching church there. You've looked long and hard in the country of France. Why? Because they have been attacked, and the churches seemingly, so many of those churches have gone away because they have not held to what the Scripture says. There's the culture wars. We got to go along to get along. We got to be sweet and kind and all. Let me help you. I don't go pick fights. I get accused of it all the time. I don't know why. My wife will tell you, I will move heaven and earth to not be disagreeable. I just will. But if I got to stand, I'm going to stand. I don't care if the whole world's running left, I'm going to stand right where the Bible is. Somebody say amen to that. Because it's just right, cultural. Well, everybody's doing this and everybody's doing that. I work with young people so much of my ministry. I'm the lone wolf for years telling people, better be careful giving everything unfiltered to your young person. You better be careful putting a cable box in their room. You better be careful putting the internet in the room with no filter. And giving them a portable porn device. And no restrictions and no way to know if they're doing anything. You be careful. You know what everybody writes about now? Then you better be careful about TV in the room. You better be careful about the internet. You better be careful about those kind of things. I remember standing and people looking at me like I'd grown a third eye. I made so many people mad when I said, do you have Snapchat, Pastor Roddy? No, I don't have Snapchat. One, I'm not 14. Two, I'm not an idiot. Take a picture of something that's going to go away and tempt people to do what's wrong. I said, with all the drug dealers are using it and all the other people use it, I don't know why you let your young person, it's harmless. 6 months later, well, my daughter was taking pictures of herself. She took a dare and they got it and they screenshotted it. And now they're blackmailing her with it. And I'm going to have to move her to a different school and all these kind of things. No. We understand. I don't care which way the wind's blowing. I want to stay where the scriptures are because that'll destroy a church and that'll destroy your family. Somebody say amen to that. I'm in the culture wars here and I say a lot. Sexual norms. MTV's made a mint. Little show, Born That Way. Gaga's title song. I'm not mean. There are folks that struggle with lots of things. You look at, listen to this preacher, you watch my face. Struggling with sin is just struggling with sin. Somebody say amen. But changing what the Bible says just so you can make somebody feel better, I'm not helping you a bit. If you got cancer, and I tell you, you just got a bunion on your toe, I didn't do you any favors. Sin is sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. And we need to help people. How many of you think people are absolutely positively confused? Up is down, left is right, good is bad, bad is good. People are upside down. It's just absolutely unbelievable. And God has made us. God has made us. Certain way and made us a way that we can be happy and we can be fulfilled. And man, I am praying. And look, listen, this is nothing new. If you were in adult Bible study this morning, I mean, this is 2,000 years old, and this is before that. Man, people struggle with what they struggle with, but we give them hope from the Scripture and help and life change, and God will be with us. By the way, we may struggle with some things all our life. I'm convinced of that. But there is a day coming when we will struggle no more, when we will be free from the very presence of sin, and we will forever and ever not struggle with anything anymore. Somebody say yes and amen to that. Boy, sexual norms. Liberalism. I don't mean political liberalism. I mean biblical liberalism. Again, not too far from here is a place that teaches, you know, that the Bible's not right, and the Bible's full of this, and the Bible's full of that, and there are errors in the Scripture, errors in the Scripture. There is even in the text here, these people, he says, if anybody thinks to be wise, they were trying to say that salvation was a different way. No, we must stay where the Bible says about doctrine. We must teach the right thing. I mean, I love helpful things. I love just practical stuff. But every now and then we need to remember that the Bible says this and not that. And doctrine divides. Doctrine always divides. So you shouldn't take a controversial position. I got news for you. Saying in the beginning God is crazy controversial in 2018. That there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. Jesus claimed incontrovertibly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Doctrine divides. Man, we need to be right. Somebody says, you want to be this or that, and they were throwing some labels at me. This was years ago. I said, I just want to be accurate with the Scripture. I don't care what label you put on it. I want to be right with what the Bible says. And if I get it wrong, I want to have the guts to get up there and admit I was wrong and get on the right thing. Somebody say amen to that. So we're here. He says, don't destroy the church. That's from without. Don't destroy the church. Don't defile the church. Don't mess with God's church. Let me help you. With all this bad stuff going on, shouldn't we be scared? Shouldn't we be intimidated? Should we want to give up? Anybody besides me, people being apathetic and say they love Jesus, does it bother you? Does it bother you? Let's just be real honest, be raw this morning. You look at certain things and you go, man. People get all excited about a concert, but they don't get all excited about church. Seem like our priorities are out of order. We know better. Jesus, I got my own thing going again. No, why? 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 Not because God said he would judge. Notice what he's going to say here. Don't mess with the church because the future is fixed. It is certain. It is certain. You're in chapter 3. Read these last verses. We're going to be done. You still with me? Say amen this morning. Amen. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Come again. Whether you got them from Paul, or whether Apollos touched your life, or Peter touched your life, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. Now, how many of you, that's just a pretty comprehensive list, right? And you are Christ, and Christ is God. Get your act together, get unified, taken care of it. I've won. Break it out a little bit. He says, you have all the blessings of heaven. You have all the blessings of heaven. All the blessings of heaven. I love the parable Jesus says. He talks about those that run in a race run all. And he gives this interesting thing. He says, and the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And it's kind of a little bit of a logical statement there. He's simply saying that there's a tie. The only way the first or last and last or first is there's a tie. He illustrates it further. He says the guy calls everybody out to work in his vineyard, and they go in the vineyard, and he says, here we go. He says, and we're going to pay you all the same thing, and a guy starts at 8, and a guy starts at 10, and a guy starts at 12, and a guy starts at 2, and then a guy starts at 4, and he cuts them off at 5, and he gives everybody the same thing. Boom, 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 and a guy says, hey, wait a minute, I worked all day. He says, no, I agreed to pay you this, and I agreed to pay you this, and agreed to pay you this. And the disciples are scratching their head. He said, hey, listen. He said, the person who was saved in Moses' day and the person who was saved in my day and the last person who will ever be saved, what? before I come back, before I close everything down and change the world, but when it, well, whoever it is, he said, they're all going to get all of heaven. I get all of forgiveness. Dre John back there got all of forgiveness about 4 weeks ago. He has, some of you have been saved 30, 40, 50 years. He's got as much of heaven coming to him as you do. He's got all of Jesus as you do. He's got all the Holy Spirit that you do. He's got all of God's blessings. All the blessings of heaven are yours. Why are you so into all this stuff that is worthless and wicked? You got all the blessings of heaven. By the way, that may not mean anything to you till it's that phone call and your loved one. When it's that heartache and that heartbreak, when it's that anniversary and you remember, set a place by rote memory, it's going to stay empty at the table. You got all the blessings of heaven. You got all the blessings of here. You got all the blessings of here. What do you mean? What do you mean? He says the world. He says the world. Satan is a prince of the power of the air now, but I got news for you. God's in charge of Satan. And God is still, he is still absolutely positively in charge. And whatever it looks like now, there is a day coming when Satan will be cast in the lake of fire and he will forever be a memory. But God is in charge now, no matter what it looks like here. God is in charge of the world, life. Spiritual life, eternal life, this life. God has is in charge of that. Death. Nobody's death ever takes God by surprise. Death is not the end. It is simply the beginning. So shall you ever be apart from the Lord or with the Lord. God has got life handled. He's got death handled. He says things present. Nothing ever taken God by surprise. I prayed on the phone with our brother. God didn't start making mistakes. God never makes mistakes. And he didn't start last Sunday. He's in charge. You can count on him. The things present, the things to come, all the blessings of heaven. I mean, you need to remember that every now and then. Future's fixed. I've got it. I've got it. All the blessings of heaven, all the blessings of here. And there are things that war against the church. Well, they war against me. They war against you. Things that tempt you may not tempt me, but things that tempt me may not tempt you. Don't spend your life on the things that are worthless. Don't spend your life on the things that are wicked. Because when you bring those into the church, when you attack the church, when you defile the church, or you try and destroy the church, God says, what you do to me, I will do to you. I take it very, very seriously. Let me help you. Let me help you. You got friends, family, coworkers, got gossip problem. You need to somehow gently, forcefully, brazenly, brashly, don't mess with the church. I'm saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying any pastor is perfect. He said that at all. He said, your confidence ought not to be in them. It ought to be in me. It ought to be in my handling things. Somebody's actively engaged things. I'm so disappointed in almost 27 years full-time ministry. People who know better. People who know better. Doing their best to tear down what God's building. Hurts my heart. Hurts me. By the way, until they repent, it never ends well for them. Never ends well. They can move, they can change churches, they can change countries, they can change cities, but you do not outrun the judgment of God. Somebody say amen to that. And you be careful. You be careful. And let me help you. You be hopeful. Be hopeful. All things are yours. All things are yours. Why? You're Christ. You belong to Him. You belong to Him. Some years ago, I got to meet somebody fairly famous. No need to tell you, it didn't matter. I think I was so unimpressive. I was actually wearing a sock tie. Anybody remember those from the 80s and 90s? I'm glad they've come back, but they need to die. I think I was so impressive. I think I was wearing a jacket and I had on short sleeves. I think I had on a button down short sleeve shirt with a sport coat and a sock tie. Some of you are going, can never unsee that, preacher. It's okay. Look right here. And I got to meet this person. I need to tell you the whole story, but I don't have time. I got to meet this person. And I kind of got left alone with a little entourage. And I got one of these. I got one of these from the entourage people. And they said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Rodney Hall." You know, and I'm just grinning because I'm just glad to be there. And then they said, "Who are you?" And I caught their drift as they looked me up one side and down the other. I said, "I'm with him." "Oh, Mr. Holloman, what's glad to have you." I was the bum who'd walked in off the street who didn't know to wear a long sleeve shirt with a coat and had on a sock tie at this formal event. And now, because of my friend who was a somebody, apparently, to them, I became Mr. Holloman. I like being 23-year-old Mr. Holloman. And it was there. You got all this stuff going on? See all this going on and happening? Remember, all things are yours. Christ. Christ is God. Don't mess with the church. Why? Because the church is a conduit of God's blessing to this world. Let me help you say this is a really hard message. You forget he's preaching straight at the leadership in the church. He's preaching straight here. Don't you dare mess with the recipe. Don't you dare mess with the foundation. What should we do? We should guard the church. We should love the church. We should help and assist in God's plan for the church. But our confidence is not in us. Our confidence is not in each other. Our confidence is not in the leadership. Our confidence is in God because it belongs to Him. And Christ is in control. And He's got it all handled because the future is fixed. All the blessings of heaven and all the blessings of here. Don't mess with the church. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your love to us. And I pray right now you'd help us. I pray this would be a good guard for us. It seems like in the South particularly, we like to be very critical and caustic about things that really don't deserve criticism or any caustic ideas. We like to talk about personality and not power of God. We like to do things. And Father, that does not mean to imply at all that people do not do things that are wrong or sinful, things they need to apologize for, nor in relationships that happens. We're talking about this wonderful living thing, the church, the people of the church. You said, "We are your temple. You have set us apart to be holy, and we're to treat it that way." So would we do things and plan things and organize things, believing that this is a holy body of people and that you have made it special? And would you help us today to do that?